In January 2021, America witnessed two contrasting visions of its future within 24 hours. First came Georgia's historic election of Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, a glimpse of a more inclusive Democratic future. The very next day, an unprecedented violent insurrection stormed the U.S. Capitol, incited by a president unwilling to accept electoral defeat. This jarring juxtaposition revealed both the promise and peril facing American democracy today. Tyranny of the Minority examines how America's democratic backslide isn't happening by accident. As our society becomes more diverse and inclusive, outdated institutions are empowering a shrinking demographic to maintain disproportionate control. Think about it. How can we call ourselves a democracy when presidents who lose the popular vote can still take office? When a Supreme Court makes decisions opposed by clear majorities of Americans? When state legislatures controlled by parties that received fewer votes can pass laws restricting voting rights? This democratic crisis isn't just about politics. It's about whether America can finally fulfill its promise as a multiracial democracy or whether it will abandon that experiment altogether. Democracy requires something profoundly difficult: accepting defeat and peacefully relinquishing power. This principle faced its first major test during America's 1801 election crisis between Jefferson and Burr. When the Electoral College deadlocked, Federalists considered desperate measures, while states mobilized militias. After 35 deadlocked ballots, Federalist Congressman James Bayard finally changed his vote, fearing constitutional breakdown or even civil war. Parties accept electoral defeat under two conditions: believing they can win again in the future and believing losing won't bring catastrophe. However, when parties fear losing more than just an election, when their social status and way of life seem threatened, accepting defeat becomes nearly impossible. In Thailand, the Democrat Party embraced military coups after losing 5 straight elections to parties representing rural voters. As rural Thais gained economic power, elites resented this shift, with a beer heiress claiming rural Thais lacked true understanding of democracy. When political loss feels existential, democracy itself becomes negotiable. In February 1934, right-wing militias rioted near France's parliament, attacking police and attempting to storm the building while chanting, "Hang the deputies." While leftists condemned the violence, France's leading conservative party showed tolerance toward these extremists, a semi-loyal stance that eventually contributed to the Third Republic's collapse. Loyal Democrats follow 4 key rules: expelling anti-democratic extremists, severing ties with violent groups, condemning political violence, even from allies, and joining ideological rivals against anti-democratic threats. Spain's 1981 coup attempt illustrates this principle. When Lieutenant Colonel Tejero stormed Parliament with armed guardsmen, leaders across the spectrum immediately condemned it. Right-wing leader Manuel Fraga shouted, "This is an attack on democracy." Days later, over 1 million Spaniards marched with leaders from all parties standing united. Semi-loyalty devastates democracy by enabling extremism. When mainstream politicians tolerate anti-democratic behavior, they legitimize extremist ideas. Today's authoritarians rarely wear military uniforms. Instead, they employ constitutional hardball, technically legal actions that violate democratic norms by exploiting constitutional gaps, misusing powers, and crafting seemingly neutral laws targeting rivals. Most modern autocracies emerge through constitutional hardball, incremental measures that gradually tilt the playing field, as seen in Viktor Orbán's Hungary. This seemingly contemporary playbook was actually perfected in the United States centuries ago. In 1890s Wilmington, North Carolina, a thriving black middle class emerged. When the Populist Party allied with Republicans, their fusion coalition won control of the state legislature, bringing significant black representation to Wilmington's government. This democratic progress triggered a violent white supremacist backlash. In 1898, Democratic Party leaders formed Red Shirt Militias to terrorize black neighborhoods. After stealing the election, they executed a coup. White supremacists marched through Wilmington, killing at least 22 black residents and forcing the biracial government to resign at gunpoint. The Democrats then imposed poll taxes and literacy tests, reducing black voter registration from 126,000 to 6,100 within 6 years. This coup ended America's first experiment with multiracial democracy. Post-Civil War Reconstruction had established equal rights, but without federal protection, Southern democracy was extinguished, as W.E.B. Du Bois noted. Democracy died, save in the hearts of black folk. Nearly a century after Reconstruction, the Civil Rights and Voting Rights Acts of the 1960s established a foundation for multiracial democracy with bipartisan support. 60 years later, that Republican Party is unrecognizable. The party that unanimously helped pass the Voting Rights Act rejected legislation to restore it in 2021. By 2020, the VDEM Institute concluded the GOP more closely resembled autocratic ruling parties than typical center-right ones. This transformation began as Republicans reacted to multiracial democracy itself. As Democrats embraced civil rights, Republicans repositioned as the party of racial conservatism, a strategy effective in an overwhelmingly white society. GOP strategist Kevin Phillips argued Republicans could regain majority status if the Democrats could be labeled the black man's party. Republicans attracted racially conservative whites through coded law and order language. This Southern strategy dominated presidential elections from 1968 to 1988. America's diversification exposed the strategy's limitations. After Obama's elections, the RNC urged greater inclusion of non-white voters, while state Republicans implemented voting restrictions. By 2020, 84% of Trump voters expressed concern about discrimination against whites. Despite majority support for voting rights legislation, Senate filibuster rules requiring 60 votes repeatedly blocked bills to restore the Voting Rights Act. This highlights a key tension. Democracies need counter-majoritarian protections while still empowering majorities. Democracy requires two domains remain within majority reach: elections, those with more votes determine office holders, and legislative decision-making. Elected majorities should pass regular laws that don't violate civil liberties. America's system contains an unusually high number of counter-majoritarian institutions: the Supreme Court with lifetime appointments, malapportioned Senate, filibuster, and Electoral College. These emerged from pragmatic compromises while forging a union of states with competing interests, including slave states demanding protections. We're taught to view our Constitution as hallowed, obscuring its compromise-filled history. Today's problem isn't unfettered majorities, but fettered ones. As noted almost 75 years ago, the American majority is an amiable shepherd dog kept forever on a lion's leash. America is attempting an unprecedented experiment, creating a vast multiracial democracy with global attention. Unlike past failures, today's effort has majority support. Yet in our system, majorities don't actually rule. Democratizing requires institutional reform. As Jane Addams said, the cure for the ills of democracy is more democracy. This means establishing a constitutional right to vote, implementing automatic registration, abolishing the Electoral College, reforming the Senate, eliminating gerrymandering and the filibuster, setting Supreme Court term limits, and simplifying constitutional amendments. These reforms may seem radical, but are standard in successful democracies like Denmark, Germany, and Sweden. History shows that impossible ideas, from abolition to women's suffrage, became reality because someone initiated the conversation. Loving America with a broken heart means acknowledging failures while committing to build an inclusive democracy. as the civil rights generation passes, creating a truly multiracial democracy becomes our responsibility. America's diversity is inevitable. The question is whether we'll build institutions reflecting this reality or preserve outdated structures maintaining minority rule.